You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Following the analysis of Dr. Sarah Donovan's report looking at the health survey about children in hardship and how they can be particularly affected by period poverty, I spoke to Julie Chapman of KidsCan about poverty in general, period poverty, and how we can increase access to sanitary products. What is poverty for you, just first of all?
Well, in the context of the work I do at KidsCan, poverty is not being able to afford the basics that you need to live a healthy life. And so I'm talking about being able to provide enough food for your family, being able to provide a warm, dry house, being able to provide shoes, being able to pay for doctor's visits, all of the things that, you know, most of us take for granted, families in poverty are struggling to afford, and in many cases their children are the ones that suffer the most and are missing out on those basics.
Do you think that defining poverty from a top-down approach almost may not take into account every aspect of poverty from those experiencing it?
Yeah, I think, you know, there are political and, you know, kind of government definitions of poverty. I mean, I can only really speak to what we see on a daily basis at KidsCan. And, you know, we started the organisation because we knew that children were missing school because there was no food at home. Not appropriate clothing being worn, so they were kept home when it was raining because they didn't have proper shoes or a raincoat. And in more recent times, we've seen a huge surge in the need for basic health and hygiene items, including feminine hygiene items.
Would you say that sanitary products should definitely be included in kind of the basics for what is needed for people, especially young women in Aotearoa?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we know that there are kids out there, young girls who are embarrassed that they can't access these products. And in fact, they know that their family is struggling to put food on the table, and so therefore they won't ask for the products because they don't want to, you know, put extra stress or burden on their parents. You know, this is an essential item. All women need it. And when you can't afford it, that creates all sorts of problems, and you end up with girls trying to manage it in different ways that, you know, aren't necessarily hygienic, and also mean that they miss, you know, large chunks of schooling.
Yeah, would I be right in saying that not having access to sanitary products or other issues around peri-poverty is one of the largest reasons that females miss school?
I wouldn't like to say that that's a definite, because I don't know that for sure. I think it's definitely one of the reasons. But in the wider context, I guess, of material hardship and poverty, this is just one of the things that, you know, our families are struggling to afford. And if you look at the reasons behind all of this, you know, ultimately, you know, we're talking about period poverty, but ultimately this is poverty in the wider context, and not enough income going into homes, and, you know, high cost of living, low wages, housing issues. All of those things contribute to the family budget being stretched to the point where these kinds of items now become unaffordable.
Do you think removing a tax or lowering the prices of sanitary products is only somewhat of a band-aid solution?
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan of removing GST from the products. I'm more in favour of giving girls at school and in university kind of free access to the products as they need them, particularly in the areas that we work in, for example, DESOL 1 to 4, primary, intermediate and high schools. I think there would be a real benefit in that, because we know that there is a real concentration in those areas that are more deprived of this issue of not being allowed to afford these basic items.
What other solutions do you believe there are in terms of even in the wider context of just supplying these basic needs?
Well, I certainly, you know, we've supplied already this year over 16,000 packets of product, and by the end of the year it will be in the, you know, over 20,000 mark. So I guess that if there was some kind of movement or government injection of funding, we would have the systems and the processes and the suppliers ready to go to actually expand it across the country. Again, you know, ultimately we shouldn't need to exist and we shouldn't have to do that. I think that the long-term fix is, of course, raising incomes, building more houses, supporting families so that they don't have to rely on charity. But right now, unfortunately, we have a situation where material hardship is so great that we're seeing some families with less than $40 a week to spend on food. And when you're on that kind of budget, you're not going and buying feminine hygiene products, and you're not, you know, buying other things like shampoo, conditioner, soap. All of those things have gone out the window. So in the interim, free product at school, whilst social policy and fixing this issue of poverty while that work continues by government.
I think you kind of covered this prior, but should it be up to a charity to provide these services?
Well, as I said, you know, long-term, the idea, in an ideal world, we shouldn't exist because families should have enough income to cover the basics. I think we're a long way off from that, and certainly we're in 732 decile 1 to 4 schools now across New Zealand. The need has never been so great, and we also provide food. We're feeding 30,000 children a week, clothing, and of course these other items which we've seen a significant increase in need for. So in the interim, I think while we're lifting incomes and we're building the houses and we're making New Zealand a better place for families to grow to grow up and have children in, I think you've got to have charities and organisations that are there to fill that gap.
Do you think that the provision of sanitary products would be suitable to be included in the government's new mental health campaign?
Look, I think the provision of sanitary products, you know, fits within the overall health strategy. In terms of mental health, I think definitely there is an effect on the self-esteem and the mental health of young girls who find themselves in the position where they can't access these products. I don't know where government would see it sitting, but I certainly see it sitting as part of the overall health strategy, and just removing the embarrassment and that shame and stigma that many girls are facing due to this issue.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.